Nicole Carmer, historian, joins me in the studio to chat about a little bit of Australian history, and especially Sydney history, I was unaware of our ostrich farming days.
Yes, and also in Sydney, like South Head, which isn't that far, really.
It's not that far.
But it was a kind of largely unpopulated area at the time, so we'll give them that. But it is kind of surprising that you would find that sort of thing in the dictionary, but you know.
What time period are we talking about?
I
do know that Surrey Hills is named after, I think, is it Sir John Surrey?
Yeah.
Who was given it because it was considered too far away from the city to be useful for anything.
Too far
but
away,
land.
I love it. Nowadays, definitely not.
Is it that time period are we talking?
We're talking 1889 to 1918.
Wow. 1918, still it's a long, ostrich farming.
Yes, yeah. So it was, you know, really quite an interesting time. And you were saying off air that you knew that ostrich feathers were quite valuable.
Very valuable. I knew
and
that.
Yeah, and they were just in vogue. You know, they were used for various kind of women's fashions items like hats and fans and boas and things
but
like
it
that.
It was just fashion though, wasn't it? There were no other uses for the feathers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And they were just considered so luxurious and extravagant because they were so expensive. So there was this real demand for it. So the one in Sydney was actually, so it was in South Head and it was established by a man called Joseph Thomas Barraclough.
What a great
name.
It's
you know, seems like he would start an ostrich farm.
It does, actually.
And he arrived in Sydney from England in 1884 and set it up with his wife, Jane, in 1889, so just a few years after arriving. But in the time before he established the farm, he was actually selling feathers in a shop on Elizabeth Street, directly opposite Central Station, which at the time was the cemetery, Devonshire Street.
Yes,
cemetery.
Yes.
So he'd started out in feathers. Oh, he's obviously very interested in feathers.
He'd obviously got sick of paying importation fees.
Yeah, yeah.
And
maybe,
thought,
yeah. And so it was set up on about 11 acres of land at South Head. And, you know, the ostrich farming had actually begun in South Africa originally in the 1860s. And although Barraclough claimed that he had the first ostrich farm in Australia, that actually wasn't the case. It was Victoria got there first.
Thanks, Victoria.
Oh, thanks, guys. In 1875. But still, it's a great thing to be able to claim, you know.
Yeah, sure. Just claim it. No one can back it up.
No one can
Google
look up.
Back
yeah,
then.
There's no Googling. And, you know, the as I said, it was just such a booming trade. That I read that apparently the value of ostrich feathers per pound was allegedly equal to that of diamonds. And I thought, but then again, a pound of ostrich feathers, that's quite a few.
It's a lot of feathers.
But still, it's quite an expensive commodity. Oh. And so he just did kind of a booming trade in ostrich feathers from 1889 to 1918. And by 1902, he had 100 ostriches at his farm. And the original ones that he had there had originated from Morocco and Egypt and places like, you know, the exotic
of
places.
Of course, yeah.
And so he'd obviously bred them throughout the years.
100 ostriches?
100. And he fed them a ton of food each day, which really comprised of the...
You mean a literal ton, don't
yeah,
you? Yeah, not just like a ton of food.
No. Sorry, I mean, I'm not being one of those colloquial things, but... and which actually comprised of discards from like hotels and markets, and also the rail depot at Darling Harbour as well. So in exchange for clearing up their rubbish, basically, he got the food for free.
So that's some sustainable farming.
Yeah,
right
there. It is, isn't it? Yeah. Waste not, want not. And so while his farm thrived, he was also became famous for some famous visitors and a couple of interesting incidents.
Okay.
And in 1901, Queen Elizabeth's grandparents came to visit the Duke and not Queen Elizabeth, so that's
a bit
early.
Yeah.
The Duke of Cornwall and York, who was later King George V, and his wife visited the farm.
Really?
Which was
so
just
check out the ostriches.
Just check it out, yeah. And, you know, it was reported in the newspapers. The Daily Telegraph described the Duchess as one of those women whose photographs don't do them justice. So they were just captivated by the Duchess.
And we still are today.
Yes,
any old
indeed.
Duchess. Doesn't matter what.
And they gifted her a fan with a gold frame with a fan embellished with tortoiseshell and Barraclough's ostrich feathers.
Amazing.
As a gift. And I was thinking, I wonder if the royal family still have that in their collection. It would be really interesting to find that out.
They probably challenge do accepted by someone out there. Yeah.
And so after their visit to the farm, the farm was permitted to use the words "under royal patronage."
That meant a lot.
That really did.
That really did.
When you were allowed to use that kind of, you really did have to request permission for
you
that sort
of thing. Earned that. And especially would have been quite rare in Australia still at that point. It would have been a very English thing, I would have thought.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I think they also went a step further and renamed two birds Duke and Duchess.
So, look, I don't know a lot about ostrich farming, but I'm assuming you're not killing the birds when you're harvesting.
No. So, in Barraclough's case, they were actually. I read that from the late 19th century, they figured out a way not to kill the birds, but still get their feathers.
Yay!
But of course, that I think that might have varied. I think, with the decline in the trade, which started to happen in the 1910s, because it became less fashionable for women to wear ostrich feathers, but also there were these movements in bird protection and things like that. So obviously there was still some issues in the industry. And because it was so popular, they were obviously killing these animals for their feathers. But there was another incident in 1906, which I thought was really interesting, where one male ostrich escaped the grounds and ran away. And it was reported that a group of men, boys and dogs followed in active pursuit and finally recaptured the ostrich 3 hours later, who was
a terrified, terrified,
terrifying
ostrich.
Ordeal for the ostrich. But
there's just something so wonderfully parochial about coming to a country full of tall, feathery birds, but bringing new ones
ostriches in.
Yeah,
we were saying that didn't quite make sense
to us. It didn't make a lot of sense, but, it is a very parochial thing. Like, why would anyone want an emu feather? Ugh.
Yeah, maybe it was seen as, it's a bit kind of colonial, obviously.
Very colonial.
And so the farm actually closed in 1918 after Barraclough's death. And the decline of the trade, really.
Do we know what happened to the birds after the farm closed?
No, I'm
no history
sure.
written about that.
No,
I hope they were set free. I hope there's this colony of undiscovered ostriches wandering around,
still
Sydney.
Living from 1918.
breeding and hiding. You got a dream.
Yeah,
Nicole, thank you so very much. Where can people get more Dictionary of Sydney stories?
DictionaryofSydney.org.